Radio, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music is on the air and in your ear. I am the Crown Prince of Charisma, Mo, with the King of the Casters, the Chief Defender of the Faith, Mr. Brett Podcast over here. But Brett, well, we've said this a million times, and it's true. Nobody listens to this show for us.
That's true, because we don't know what we're talking about.
No, we don't. Luckily, though, we have an excellent guitarist on. His name is Freddie Ordine.
Ordine.
It's unbelievable I screwed it up.
Didn't we just have this conversation?
We just did 2 seconds ago. He put it in my head the other way. Freddie Ordine, guitarist for Weapons of Anew. John on the line with us. I knew it. Brett was whispering in my ear the wrong one. He wanted me to screw up.
That's right. That's my goal, is to have him screw up. But actually, that's kind of true.
Oh, don't worry. Now it's going to get worse from here. I'm going to start sticking the screws to you guys now.
Perfect. This sounds like fun, though.
That's the type of chat we want. But let's just get everybody up to speed on Weapons of Anew. You guys are, you have the one album out. And basically, if you're to give an elevator pitch to somebody, hey, I play in a band, this is why we're awesome. What is it you say to people?
Honestly, I'm like the worst with that. I just, I usually just tell people, check us out, check our record out. This is a newer band, but the guys in the band, we've all done this forever. My last band was Advocate. It was me and a couple of the guys that used to play in Testament. So we did 2 records. Ray, my singer, he was in Spread Eagle. He's still in Spread Eagle. Chris Norris, he played in Darkest Hour, and he played with Joey Jordison at Mimic. So it was kind of like we wanted to do something a little bit different, a little more commercial, accessible, for this time. And we kind of went for it.
So then as you, you've got the one album. So what is it like now? 2 years on, and you're doing the shows. Like, do you do any covers? Are you just performing a lot of songs from this album?
No, we're just doing stuff off the, the first record. We were actually talking about maybe pulling out one new song for this tour, but I don't think we're ready yet. So we're just going to, especially with it being kind of new out here, the record's been out for a year and a half, I think. We've toured all over the East Coast, the middle of the country, and we just never made it out west. So we figured it's kind of brand new for out here. So let's just kind of try to feed this a little bit.
How do you know when the right time is for, like, when the new songs are ready?
For us, it's kind of just when we feel comfortable with it. When we're in rehearsal, we'll write, probably 3 or 4 or 5 or 15 versions of the same song. And it's, it's like little nuances that'll change for us. So it's just when it really feels comfortable to us and when it's really starting to hit and Ray's vocals really starting to get in that pocket. And we kind of just look at each other like, this is it, right? And we kind of just use each other and we just kind of bounce it off each other. I don't know if it's a good move, but that's what we do.
Now, in the case of Ray, I'm interested because his singing for Spread Eagle is a lot different than his singing for Weapons of Anew. So is that...
Yeah, definitely.
Was that something that you kind of... when Ray joined, maybe tell us about that and what he brought to the band, I guess.
So I came from like a thrash background. And Ray came from more like the late 80s, early 90s kind of, trash rock, sleaze rock. I don't want to call it glam because they weren't really like a glam band. And if you say that to Ray, he gets crazy. So when we met, a couple of friends of ours were just like, yo, you two really need to get in the room. And I was like, nah, dude, that guy was in a fucking hair band. I don't want anything to do with it. And so it was so fucked up. So when we finally got on the phone, me and Ray, we honestly spoke for probably 3, 4, 5 hours straight. And we totally connected where it was. It was cool what we used to do, but it was like we had grown as people and we wanted no barriers. We wanted to just be able to do what we wanted to do. So when Ray came in, Ray was so he didn't want to be Ray West, the guy from Spread Eagle anymore. So Ray had kind of found this whole, like he found himself. And what you're hearing on the weapon stuff is Ray, 100%. I mean, what he does and how he does it, I call him my little schizo. He's 5'2", 5'3", whatever he is, but he's all voice and all emotion. And when you get him in the studio and he actually hits that stuff, it's magical. It really is. He's really good at what he does and he really means what he's singing and it comes across in his vocal. Like when he's singing stuff, he really means what he's saying. And I guess with his old band, he didn't really get that opportunity. So when he got this, it was like a whole new freedom for him. So it was a cool fit, man. A friend of ours, this guy, Vinny Checkling, he worked for like you know, a couple of metal magazines back in the day, and he did all the, like, the VH1 stuff, like the Behind the Musics. He put us together, you know, kind of in a sense where he kind of introduced us and he kind of pushed me. He's like, you got to talk to this guy. You got to talk to this guy. And once we did, it was really a really good fit.
So that's actually kind of interesting because you mentioned he's still in Spread Eagle. And I know Spread Eagle is supposed to have a new album, I believe, out in 2019. And you guys had your last album.
I think it's coming out in August is what Ray's saying. So I think our record's probably, we're gonna probably space it a little bit so he can do his thing for a couple months. And then I think our record's probably going to be September, October-ish this year.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of curious about was the balance and, you know, how do you guys as a band respect that, still work on your thing while he's also trying to fulfill his commitments to Spread Eagle? That's, you know, I mean, I guess that's just communication and, being comfortable with each other and that type of thing.
It's like a family vibe, you know? When Ray came to me and said, like, are you cool with me doing that? I was like, dude, I'm 100% fine with it. Are you cool with it? You know, it's really whatever Ray's, if Ray's comfortable, I'm comfortable. If I'm comfortable, Ray's comfortable. It's kind of that thing. So we're just, as long as our communication lines are open and we keep the big picture. I mean, we're both 100% into this and this is where our main focus is, but it's still cool to go out and do it. I mean, if there's a demand for it, why wouldn't he do it? Or why shouldn't he do it? So he said, you know, he'll step back in and you guys are gonna be surprised. He sounds more like our Ray than the old Ray. On the new stuff.
Well, you know, it's also got to be, though, good promotion for you guys. Because, I mean, they're coming out.
Yeah.
I think it's Frontline that's doing their album out. They do a lot of, you know, the older bands and bring them together and get them out there. And Frontiers. See, that, or Dine or Dean. You know, I'm just going to screw it up all over the place. But, yeah, Frontiers is putting out their album. They put out a lot of old bands. And it's good, though, it's exposure. Yeah. Because, I mean, I know they have a music festival and that type of thing that they do. And hopefully it can just create more eyes on Weapons of the New.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how we looked at it. It's fingerprints. You can't change them. You know, so Ray is Ray from Spread Eagle. I was Freddy from Havocate. Chris was Chris from Darkest Hour. So it's you can't change your past. It is what it is. And if you're not ashamed of it and you're proud of it and it's who you are or what you want to do, then fucking hey, go do it and have fun doing it. You know, as long as it doesn't interfere with our main objective, we're all 100% cool with everybody kind of stepping out and doing their thing.
Does that, do you guys know?
That's family.
Yeah, no, that's cool. And bands,
we're
like,
we're,
you
like
know,
a big swinger band. You can borrow my sticker, you can put it in them. Somebody's coming home to us. You know, it's kind of like that. I mean, we have that kind of relationship. I mean, we really, truly are like a family. And when you connect with somebody like that on a musical level and on a personal level, it's a special thing, you know. So you hang on to it, and, you know, if your wife needs to go on the internet and talk to somebody else, you know, you let them do it. But they're coming home.
I can't get this out of my head now. You've completely I've been wrecked.
You're picturing Ray with a gimp mask and a gag ball in his mouth right now, aren't you?
Suddenly,
you're coming home to daddy.
I really want to see one of your concerts now.
Well, we're in Vegas tonight. We're in San Francisco tomorrow.
Oh, we got a long way to go then, but
where are you guys at?
Up in Calgary, Alberta.
Oh, wow. Awesome, dude.
Yeah. Weapons of the New, I don't think you guys ever played the west coast of Canada, have you?
We have not.
No.
No? Played Montreal, we played Toronto. We have not been out there over there.
Yeah, well, that's okay. So, I mean, if you only make it to the west coast of the States now, I mean, we'd only expect you to make it up here when, you know, when the time is right. But hopefully you'll get that chance.
Yeah, we're hoping so.
You know, it's interesting also then because, I mean, August is when that album, as you said, probably is going to be coming out. So is there there's pressure to get an album out, do you feel, for Weapons of the New to kind of capitalize on what's happening with Spread Eagle for in 2019 then? Or is it just, you know, like you say, you're going to do it right?
Yeah, we'll do it our way. And that's the only way we'll ever do anything. It's when we feel comfortable and we're 100% right with it, that's when we'll put it out, like when we're proud of it. So we have a really cool deal with our record company. They're super supportive. They're 100% behind us. They kind of let us do us. There's really no pressure from them, you know. So they want a new record this year, and you know we're like, yeah, we're gonna make it happen. So we have a good relationship with them. They're they're pretty supportive on us. You know, they don't really restrict us with timelines. Like it has to be done by here. It's, you know, let us do our thing, and when we're ready, we'll hand it in. We'll be proud of it. Hopefully they will too. But you know how that goes.
Well, is the style of the album, is it going to be extremely similar to the first one, the Collision of Love and Hate, or is it going to be a little bit different, a little bit of an evolution?
Yeah, it's definitely an evolution. You know, we've toured a lot now. So it's, you know, when you get a band together and you get to go out and experience things, and it's you know, it's definitely us a little more mature. And we're definitely getting up there in age, so I don't know how much more we can mature, but well, it seems to happen to us.
Based on the ball and gag thing, I'm not sure how much.
Yeah,
I don't want it to be too much. Let's not lose some fun.
His has gray hair that he'll dye.
Yeah, how important is it for a new band to kind of get on the road and get those shows under your belt so that you really do kind of learn how to gel as a band?
For us, we've been really blessed, you know, with my old band and Chris's old band and Ray's old band. Like, we've all toured before, so we kind of knew what to expect. But for us, like, we kind of have that old school mentality of you got to get in front of people, you got to meet people. It's not about getting somebody to buy your CD. It's about getting somebody to come and hang with the band and, you know, become part of our family. And every time we come to this city, they're going to be there. You know, that for us, it's more about that. It's really the interaction with the people. You know, so last night's crowd was a light show. It was maybe 200 people when we hit the stage. And for us, if we can connect with, you know, 10%, 20%, and if we're lucky enough to connect with 80% out of it, you know, where you get the whole room moving, that's where it's at for us. So we're all about that smack and flesh and meeting people and you know, building relationships. It's not just like a fan thing for us. It's a cool thing for us. It's when we come to your town, we want to hang out, you know, like we want to see the people that we met before. So that's kind of where we're at. We're a little more old school with that, where we don't really work social media as hard as we probably should or as newer bands do. We're more about put us in front of you and let us, you know, get to meet you and, you know, kind of bring you into our family.
When you're doing these shows then, and then is it like if you're the opener, like do you go out after the full show or do you go out after your set and talk?
Usually as soon as we get off stage, we'll towel off real quick and we're out at merch hanging out. We're out at the bar hanging out. We're, you know, we want to meet everybody, you know, and that's what I mean by like that grassroots kind of get out there and meet people and make friends with people. And it's a cool thing, you know?
Well, you know, it's interesting because there's a lot of good music out there. So, I mean, I think the difference is that the people like you. Like, I mean, you know, I mean, what makes the difference between somebody they're going to support and somebody they're not? Well, if everybody's doing pretty good music, you know, they can find the music. But yeah, Who's that person that they really think is a real cool guy and they want to support? In this day and age, I think wanting to support people, you know, specifically caring that you know that you're supporting somebody who's you know, a good guy means a lot.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, we've never been out to the West Coast. And just from people we've met in, say, Chicago or Texas or something like that, oh, my cousin's got a place. Like, if you guys need a shower or something like that, we get emails like that or text messages or anything like that. Like, we're totally translucent in that aspect of it. Like, you know, if we need somebody to show and we connect with them, like, yeah, dude, of course you got my cell phone number. Just call me. Let me know what's up. And it's the same thing back and forth with the people we've met on the road and I guess whatever you want to call fans or something like that. We consider them friends.
Oh yeah,
hey, and, Brett. If you know, come up, just building that friend circle.
If you come up to Canada, Brett will let you stay at his place. I just
I'm on my way.
All right.
No problem. Hey, do me a favor. Text me your address. We're coming now.
Okay. Well, are you gonna play in my backyard?
Without a doubt, we will. And we're those kind of guys. Like, yeah, let's hang out. We'll barbecue and we'll jam and just, you know, that's just kind of how me and Ray and Chris are raised. You know, when you go out there, it's. We're musicians because we like playing, you know, because we want to do any of this other shit. We want to be out there and just play and make friends. And, you know, nothing cooler than double kick drums and loud guitars and a little crazy screaming singer. I mean, to me, it's awesome, you know? So we like doing that shit.
Well, I'm totally down, you know? So whenever you want to come, let's just do it. That would be...
We're in, man. You got my number, so text me.
That's awesome.
So how difficult is it to find tours to get onto?
We've been really blessed just because of the relationships we've built over the past 20, 30 years. So we know a lot of people in industries, and, you know, when we want to go out, we haven't toured as hard as we probably should have. It was a matter of us getting our business part together. So now that we're back out and doing our thing, it's really not that hard. You know, we pick the phone up and, you know, we've built good relationships over the years.
So how about songwriting then? Is this something you do a lot when you're on the road? Is it something you're doing at home? Is it something that mainly takes place in the studios and you just kind of bring ideas? What's kind of the What's kind of your style there?
That's like a me and Ray thing. I'll come up with like this kind of cool riff, like, "Hey Ray, I've been kind of bouncing this around. What do you got?" And then him and I will kind of just vibe off of each other. So it doesn't matter if we're on the bus. The other night we were backstage, kind of just noodling around with acoustic, and we came up with really cool stuff. So it's just really just when it just kind of hits us, we try to just take advantage of it. So whether we recorded like a demo idea on a cell phone or a GoPro or whatever, and then we'll go back and look at it, or you know, Ray will be like, "Hey, remember that thing you were playing that time in Chicago or in, you know, wherever, in Florida?" And he'll have it on his cell phone. He'll go back. And, you know, we kind of just bounce ideas back and forth with each other. And usually, you know, we're pretty lucky where it'll kind of strike us.
So what does it look like before the show? Like when you are backstage, what, like, do you kind of have a usual thing, or is it just kind of random every time?
Yeah, it's pretty random, but I mean, it's not uncommon to see me and Ray walking around in pajamas, just hanging out, you know, having a drink or just shooting shit, playing on our phones. You know, we try to keep it light. You know, we don't take the shit crazy, crazy serious, like where you got to look a certain way at a certain time. Like, we don't care about any of that crap. we kind of just, you know, we're just us. You know, we kind of goof. Me and Ray are always breaking balls. We're probably two of the biggest jokesters you're ever going to meet. And we kind of just keep it light like that. And it's just a fun thing for us. You know, it's got to be fun. It can't feel like it's like a job or a commitment or, you know, whatever. So as long as it's fun and we enjoy creating with each other, we're going to keep doing it as long as we can.
So you say you're kind of the jokester. Do you actually play like a, you know, pranks, big ribs or anything like that on the road? Or is it just kind of that you're always busting balls?
Yeah, we're pretty bad. We were out on tour with Tesla, and they had given us a fruit basket for like a going away gift. So we decided to take a couple oranges and a banana and make it to a cock and balls and give it to them back. our going away gift. And we presented it to them on stage in Texas. It was pretty funny, dude. It's like, that's like the kind of people we are. We're all about dick jokes, and you know, we're like fucking overgrown children.
Yeah, I always say dick and fart jokes. That's where the real money is.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's like society now, isn't it?
Yeah, basically, right?
Dick and fart jokes.
Yeah, dude, everybody's so PC and everything like that. And like, we're so not. Like, to us, shit's funny. You know, like, we just like to break balls. You know, nothing is sacred with us. If it's funny, we're going to say it. So our main tech guy, he's, we call him the pirate. So when we were out on tour, we taught him how to rob everybody's food. So we actually got him a pirate hat and a pirate patch. Now, this is like a grown-ass man. He's like 50 years old, and we dress him up as a pirate, and he robs everybody's catering. So last night, our bass player paid for a hotel room. And so this morning, we're on the bus. It's like 6 in the morning, and Jeffrey comes over to me all proud. He's got his book bag, and it's full of shit that he took out of the hotel room. But still in the hotels, like where they have those things, right? So he's proud. He's like, "Dude, look at all the shit I got last night." I'm like, "Where'd you get that?" He's like, "The hotel room." And I'm like, "Oh, my God." You know, so we're laughing. And he looks at me dead straight serious, like super innocent. He's like, "Bro, I'm a pirate. You can't do that to me." So our bass player came out and almost had a fucking coronary. $350 in gummy bears, Sour Patch Kids, and beef jerky.
That's tremendous. That's one of the great stories ever.
We're cracking up laughing.
Oh, dude, I'm a pirate.
But that's what I mean by overgrown children. You should put overgrown children in charge of their own lives, because we're going to do stupid shit like that regularly.
Now, has being this kind of person got you in trouble before?
You know, I mean, trouble is, you know, it's all how you look at it. So to us, it's funny. You know, other people might be like, "These fucking guys are animals." But most of the time, you know, it's in good fun.
Well, and in fairness, I mean, you know, that's part of the rock and roll lifestyle. You're supposed to be an animal. That's what everybody expects. So you should at least try to live into it.
And that's how we look at it. Like, we may be a little bit older, you know, we're all in our 40s and stuff like that. And we look at it like, well, fuck that, dude. Like, this is what rock and roll's supposed to be. Like, this is why we do this, to have fun. Like, I don't want to be all stiff and uptight. Like, fuck it. Jeffrey, dress up as a pirate and go steal their shit, you know? So we're the first people to tell them to do it. So we have a blast doing that kind of stuff. You'll see us on stage. You ever see us live? Like, we're telling jokes to each other. Like, you know, while we're playing, you know, Reno will come over and put his head on me and tell me the most fucked up jokes ever while we're playing, you know, and I'm cracking up laughing. You know, we have a good time doing this.
I'm sure that there's some you see some interesting things going on in the audience while you're playing as well.
Oh yeah, and then we're the first people to point that guy right out,
That's funny. So it's interesting. You hear about so many bands, they're just, they're not getting along, and how uncomfortable it can be on stage when you have to play with somebody you're not getting along with, and they take as much distance as they can from each other. Then we got you guys, which is, I mean, this is great. This is what I think. This is what people want to hear about from their bands. They don't want to hear people are fighting
Yeah.
all the time. They want to hear you guys are out there. You enjoy your job. You're having fun, and you're interacting with people. And I mean, it's rock and roll. Goddamn right.
It's crazy how well we get along, but I mean, we look at it like we're married to four other dudes. It's fucked up. And even our crew guys, I mean, we won't go out on the road without our guys. It's family. Like, I don't want to be out there without them. And so it's constantly breaking each other's balls and pushing each other's limits. I mean, if we ever have like an argument, it's bullshit. It lasts about 13 seconds, and then it usually falls into a dick joke or something stupid. And it's totally over in 2 seconds. I mean, we're really lucky that way. And that was the important thing for all of us. Like, if we're going to do this and we're really going to try to do this, we all have to get along and really want to be around each other.
It's actually
and
come
we
prob-
totally do.
There's probably times you're on the road with other bands who are having issues. It's probably weird. Like, I can only imagine if you're on the road with another band that's arguing in the dressing room next to you and you can hear it. It's got to be a strange situation.
Yeah, we pick on them. We make fun of them. Like, we kind of break them down to, like, where it's just a big fucking joke. So we don't want to travel uncomfortable. We don't want to be around bands that are uncomfortable. So it's like, if we're all here, let's just make the best of it, And that's kind of just how we are as people, Just let's have a good time. Yeah, and I guess that's where we're lucky, where we're a little older. We kind of grew up on that whole kind of thing. Like, if you're doing a metal thing or a rock thing, it's like a community, and it should be that way, where we're all friends, we're all family, we're all, with each other. It's us against whoever. I mean, and that's the whole thing that kind of started the heavy metal thing. It was like little misfits, and we're just overgrown misfits now.
Now, was it the same kind of thing that you had in Havocate then?
Oh yeah, it was up until the end. Yeah, 100%. A couple of the guys got a little bit out of control with the drugs, and it just it just made people different people. We're lucky in the sense that we have our shit together. We've done that. We've been there, and it's not about that for us anymore. So, and that's what I mean by it's like a more mature thing. Like, where we know our boundaries, and we all take care of each other.
So as a guitarist, then. How many guitars do you tour with, and how many guitars do you play on stage?
Usually, depending on the tour, I'll usually bring two or three out with me. Barring I don't break a string or my guy didn't not tune my guitar correctly, I'll usually just stick with one. Depending on what we're doing, maybe two, you'll see.
You're the type of guy I'd like to go on a tour with, I can already tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, next time we go out, you're more than welcome, because we're going to be staying at your house in Vancouver anyway, so or Calgary.
Wherever.
That's right.
You stay at my house in Vancouver, though. You just show up at some address and just walk in, and yeah.
I'm getting called by my pirate, Jeffrey.
Okay.
Do you want to talk to one of the other guys in the band?
Sure.
Reno's a funny motherfucker. Hold on a second.
Who's this? They're awesome.
Oh, okay. Hey, what's up, dude?
Hey. How's it going?
How you doing? You're gonna have a tough act to follow there.
Does Las Vegas make it different for when you're playing live, or is it just like any other town?
I mean, it's my first time out here with the band. I mean, I guess it's gonna be different with the amount of extracurricular activity you can engage in. I mean, for me, it's just, travel, wait, play, rock the house, and, do your thing. It becomes pretty routine, once you kind of get into the swing of things. The first couple of days are always ironing out the kinks, with whatever little logistics are involved and making sure everything's squared away. And then by like day two, it's just kind of like, smooth sailing.
Well, you guys were in Los Angeles last night, right?
Hmm?
So how long you're hitting the West Coast? How many cities are you doing?
Four. We did, we started in Phoenix, then we were in LA last night at the Belasco. Now we're at the House of Blues in Vegas, and tomorrow we finish at the Fillmore in San Francisco.
So nothing like going back and forth a little bit, eh?
Yeah, I wish they would have routed California together. But hey, it is what it is. So we have a fun little 9-hour trip ahead of us, after tonight.
Now, is there Well, I guess when you're on the tour bus, especially with a whole bunch of guys, how difficult is it to try to get some sleep, or is that something that you just kind of adjust to the more that you do it?
You know, it's messed up. The first two tours, we were driving ourselves when we went out with Alderbridge, and then when we did Tesla, we were driving ourselves, so it was kind of tough. But now with having our awesome driver, like, it's really not bad. You know, I only really wake up when he hits the brakes excessively hard or makes a sweeping right or left hand turn. But it's not too bad. You know, you sleep in, I call it sleeping in shifts. Plus, I'm an insomniac on top of that. And, you know, we're from the East Coast, so the time difference is still kind of kicking my ass, because at 4 or 5 in the morning, everyone is awake and they want to talk. And they don't remember that it's, you know, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. So I'm like, oh, hey, did I tell you guys that I was in California? Oh, I told you. Yeah. You didn't remember? All right. Cool. So that's neat. I'm awake, and I've been awake since 4:30 West Coast time. And it's been pretty much every day. But it's not bad. You know, 3 hours here, get up, have a little something. 3 hours there. You know, stack them up. You stack it up in shifts.
Yeah, and then eventually, I guess, the tour ends. So who cares about sleep? I mean, sleep is for pussies, right?
Yeah, sleep when you're dead.
Honestly, I just try to take the day when we get home. When we get home, it's like, okay, now I'm going to just eat something that's not wrapped in paper. It consists of a hamburger or a taco. And, you know, prepare to go back to the real world.
Something that didn't come out of the pirate bag?
The pirate bag is a little thin right now, although he did rob the minibar at the hotel yesterday blind. So my credit card is currently suffering the pains of snack food robbery. And yeah, I was wondering where those charges came from, and I found out this morning. So, but hey, we got stuff to eat, so it's cool.
Yeah, I suppose that must be the worst. It's great if he's going to steal from another band, but...
Dude, there's nothing like an $18 Snickers at 4 in the morning. I mean, you know, you really get the full essence of what a Snickers is supposed to be.
Yeah, that's
when you realize it was $22, dude. You know, it's like, oh, this is the best fucking Snickers I've ever had. This is awesome.
That son of a bitch really satisfies.
Did they change the recipe out here in the West Coast? Because I've never had an East Coast Snickers that tastes this good. I think they put gold dust or something like that in there, because they're absolutely outstanding. Absolutely outstanding.
You ever had a deep fried Snickers? Seriously, that's a thing. It's delicious.
Dude, I try to stay away. You know what gets me? The fried Oreos, and now I see they make the fried Twinkies, and it's just bad. Like, oh my God. Oh, they're so creative with that kind of stuff now. It's absolutely amazing. I'm like, I didn't even know you could deep fry that. That's amazing.
Apparently, you can deep fry anything.
Science. Yeah, deep frying science has leaps and bounds in the last 5 years. I have to tell you, whoever's on the forefront of that is really pioneering some high end artery clogging technology, without a doubt.
I guess when you think about the food that you eat, is there a desire to kind of stay away from the deep fried Snickers when you're out on tour?
The only thing I stayed away from was the airplane food. Because they tried to get me with airplane food, and I was like, yeah, that's probably not the best choice, but nah, I don't care, dude. Whatever's close and cheap and fast and filling.
That's, you know, I had that attitude, too, and then I got food poisoning from a turkey BLT wrap from a gas station last week, so...
Oh, dude, no.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's terrible. Yeah, only things in packages and nothing in a clear plastic container that says goodbye whatever date. Yeah, it's probably not good.
Lesson learned. I've done the research for you. Don't do that.
Yeah, no gas station sushi, dude. As appealing as it is, made fresh. Yeah, I'm not with it. Yeah, we're good, dude. No, it's cool. I'll spend the extra money.
Is that something that happens, I guess, when you're on the road where there's just these terrible moments and it's just like, oh my God, I have food poisoning?
Dude, if you go like our road guy's first tour, like he had to learn the ropes, and he's like, oh man, this, you know, I'm doing this, I'm getting that, and I'll see like what he's doing. I'm like, no, dude, like you can't eat that, or you can't go here, you can't do that. So, you know, it's a bit of a learning curve when you have tour babies with you, but you know, once you learn the ropes, dude, it's pretty solid. You know, it ain't really nothing.
You know, and imagine no matter how tired you are, when it's time to get on the stage, you're going to find the energy, right?
Oh, yeah, dude. That's what Red Bull's for, bro. Are you kidding me? I'm going to petition them for an endorsement. I'll wear their T-shirts on stage. I mean, you know, it's all good in the hood. I have a pretty good regimen. One Red Bull, 1 hour before the performance, so it doesn't feel my heart like my heart's going to explode. And then we're good. We're totally good. You have to get this down to a science when you're out here. That's the thing. You have to have it down to a science. You got to map out all of your situations and places and hot spots and good stuff before you arrive to the next city. So you have a plan of attack.
Are there people that you would trust more if you're asking them about advice on the next city? Like, is there people out there that you just don't trust at all to steer you straight?
I mean, I honestly do so much of my own research that I don't really need the local city guide for dummies. You know what I mean? And we're from New York, so anywhere we go, everybody's always like, oh, you're not from around here. And we're like, yeah, I know. Where is this or where is that? You guys talk funny. I'm like, no, you guys talk funny, but hey, it's cool, dude. Like, yeah, I have an accent, sure. Where can I get a cheeseburger with bacon? Like, you know what I mean? So,
that's your problem. It's obviously the accent and getting the cheeseburger with bacon.
Yeah. Where's the strong coffee? Okay, we're cool, dude. Mission complete.
This is honest to God. This is the most on a music interview we've ever talked about food ever. So it's
important to know, dude. It's important to know. You have to have all of your bases covered, dude. Where's the laundry? Where can I wash? Where can I eat? And you know, where's entertainment for the evening? What time do I have to be back at the bus? You know,
especially in Vegas.
How often?
Yeah,
do you...
it's all around. It's all around me today, so I'm just like a kid in a candy store.
How often do you wind up doing laundry on a tour?
For this? Not really. I pack super light because it's only 4 days. So I have like a swap-out bag under the bus and enough. As long as you have enough clean underwear and socks, you're really good. You're really good. Two sets of stage pants, four. I'm traveling essentially with a book bag and just like a spare bag with like some extra crap in it. But I'm pretty much self-contained. You know, this isn't a two suitcase type of situation where you got to constantly switch it out and find the laundry and stuff like that. Like, I'm not doing laundry till I get home. You know, if it's something longer, like, yeah, probably like day three or day four, stuff starts to get a little funky. You know what I mean? The bag turns into a Kool and the Gang concert and you got to watch out like, oh, someone's bag is heating the underside of the bus up. You know? You go through Canada and they're like, who's smuggling cheese? And we're like, nah, dude, we're definitely not smuggling cheese. We're really sorry about that.
That's great. You know, I never even thought about that. Yeah, I mean, when you're on the tour and, you know, you're in a bus or whatever, you're moving around, you got clothes. That could smell like a traveling cesspool, I suppose.
Yeah, it gets a little rough. I mean, we usually travel by ourselves, so we're sharing now, so it's a little more, you know, of an upkeep, but it's not bad. Everybody does their thing, you know what I mean? It's pretty solid, you know?
Is there ever, like, and I guess it all comes down to the whole sleeping things, like, is there, when everybody's in the bus at the same time, does that ever get annoying?
You know what, dude? I would think like maybe 10 years ago before the invention of the iPhone and unlimited data plans, it might get annoying. But, dude, it's 90% of the time everybody's just looking down at their phone. You know, take turns for the bathroom. Excuse me when you're in the alley. It's not bad. You know, and the bunk has a curtain, dude. So, like, oh, you want to be left alone? There you go. You know? I go into my little coffin on wheels and, you know, hope I don't hear banging and skidding while I'm trying to close my eyes.
Yeah, I guess those are the absolute worst sounds that you're
hearing. What's the longest tour you've ever been on? Longest?
Longest, I think, I don't know. I think probably Alter Bridge was like a couple days longer than Tesla. So like 2-3 weeks.
That's not so bad.
But I mean, Nah, Alder Bridge was rough because our RV kept breaking down. So we had like brake problems, and the roadies were new. They used a rusted out gas tank and killed our fuel filters.
Oh,
so we had to rebuild the engine in Massachusetts. Yeah, it was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. We were shutting the bus off and turning it back on while we were driving to make power to get fuel to the engine in like January and February. Yeah, it was a bad scene.
So you hear with some of those bands, they get out there for 6 weeks or 2 months, you know, and away from home and touring the world. And like that, does that appeal to you? Do you want to try that, or does that just sound like too much?
You know, once you kind of get out and get settled, like for me, like I'm cool, you know, like there's always like, you know, you miss being home and stuff like that. But I like being out. It's like, you know, yeah, I want to go home. But then you arrive at the next place and you know, your thing. It's like, oh, I like being out here. You know, so it like comes in waves. It's like one day it's like, man, I really like to be home. And then the next day it's like, no, let's stay out here forever. You know what I mean?
So how much of a chance do you get to actually see the cities you go to? I mean, to yeah, I don't know, to experience kind of what's unique about some of the different cities.
If you get there early enough and everything is on time, a decent amount of time, because a lot of tours is what I like to call hurry up and wait. You know, and everything's pretty scheduled. You know, these bands do their thing at this time. You do your thing at this time. Sound check at this time. Load-ins at this time. So, you know, you just kind of got to look at your schedule for the day and, you know, figure out how to budget, you know, your time. You know, and it depends. You know, like wintertime, I'm not really like too big on like, hey, let's walk around and like, you know, have a good time, because it's friggin' butt cold, especially, you know, in the Northeast and stuff like that. But out here, I mean, you know, it's freaking 90 degrees outside. It's awesome.
We're in Canada. We know. Trust me. We know.
Dude. Yeah, Canada was rough, dude. I was there in February.
Oh, yeah.
We did Alter Bridge, and it was rough. It was rough. Wisconsin was rough, dude. We were in a hotel on the lake, and the whole lake was frozen. Like a little river frozen, like icebergs, like the Titanic was going to crash into. It was bad cold. It was friggin' brutal cold. I was like, oh my God, people live here full time? Are you kidding me? And I lived in the Catskills for like 5 or 6 years. So I know like winter, that last 9 months, but holy God, they're on some other. This is like a different version of winter out there.
Yeah, I think when it gets cold there, it doesn't warm up. Like, that's it. It just stays like that for months on end. Like, at least where we are, it gets hot and then gets cold again. It gets hot and gets cold again.
You know, I mean, I got kind of used to it. Anything below, like, negative 10, you don't really feel a difference. It's just like, yeah, this is bad. Okay, we're good.
So what's some of the coolest cities and coolest sites you've seen then?
The desert was really cool today. When we were on Alter Bridge, Niagara Falls was really awesome, even though it was wicked cold. That was really cool to see. What else? You know, honestly, in the bus, dude, like, I'll stick to the bunk, like, unless there's something really cool, like, going on outside where someone will come again and be like, yo, come and check this, you know. And, you know, with traveling, like, sometimes you want to walk, and sometimes you don't want to walk, and who wants to pay for 18 taxis? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, at least in Vegas.
I'm sure today I'll do my fair share of exploring.
Yeah, I mean, because in Vegas, it's a lot easier to get around than it is in a lot of other cities, yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, Vegas is where I had my first In-N-Out burger, and I miss that.
Dude, I haven't had an In-N-Out yet. I tried to get original Tommy's delivered to the bus last night when we were in L.A., and they couldn't process my card on their end, so it was a little disappointing.
And now you know why?
But I'm trying definitely to get a double-double animal style with chopped chilies before I leave the West Coast. It's
gotta
going
do
to
it.
Happen. By hook or by crook, dude. By
you
hook
got
or by
to
crook,
do
I'm
that.
Getting that. Yeah, because, I mean, I'm like kind of like a food guy. I watch this show on YouTube. It's called The Burger Show. It's done by on this channel called First We Feast. And this dude just, like, goes and tours, like, burger spots and, like, he swears up and down like it's the most amazing thing ever. So I definitely have to handle that.
You gotta try that. I think
definitely
that's off.
Have to handle that
that's an off-menu item, and off-menu items is the best stuff, right?
I, I know it's an off menu item, but I'm gonna walk in there and be like, yeah, man, let me get the double animal style with chopped cheese, and be like, oh, you know the secret. And I'm gonna be like, yes, I will take two of those, please.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, we had Freddie on here to promote, you know, whatever or you guys are coming up with, any tours that's coming up, and I mean, a new album, I guess, hopefully this year from Weapons of Anu, but you know, since he took off on us, it's now your turn, man. We're gonna give you a chance to plug your shit. Where do people go to find out more about Weapons of Anu?
We can go to weaponsofanuband.com. We can go to our glorious Weapons of Anu Facebook page, which is super duper active and excellent right now. It's really on the come up. We do have an Instagram page at weapons_of_anu. But currently I'm locked out of that because every time I change a city, it tells me that it has a suspicious login request. So I'm currently trying to circumvent the logistics of that. But yeah, we're out there, dude. It's popping off right now.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, Reno, you know, thanks a lot. Tell everybody.
Oh, no, thank you guys.
Tell everybody who you are too, so that we're
not confusing. Never even got a proper introduction to you. Come to think of it, Freddie just said you're a funny motherfucker. Pass the phone off.
He's right. On.
I'm Reno. I play bass in Weapons of Anu, and if you look to the stage left when you're out in the crowd getting your rock and roll on, I'll be the slender lunatic with the nice hair running around like an idiot. That's where you can find me.
All right, so we got the slender idiot, we got the like really short crazy lead singer, and we got Freddie. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, and
all your bases are covered. All your bases are covered, dude. I don't know where the drummer is, but so I can't speak for him on any points on how he would describe himself.
Awesome. Well, we look forward to seeing you. I mean, Freddie said that he'll come up to my place for barbecue and sitting in the backyard. So I expect to see you sometime.
Absolutely, dude.
Well, we got to do that. You know, Canadian Alberta beef is some of the best in the world. So if you want a good burger, we can definitely get you one.
And we can bring in some poutine.
Oh, nice. I heard the poutine is supposed to be of otherworldly flavor.
It is. That it is. All right, we've had people literally travel here to have it with us before.
All right, cool, dude. Well, we got to actually go and get ready for sound check and stuff like that, so it was super great talking to you guys. We really appreciate the time.
Well, thanks, Reno, so much. Good luck with Weapons of Anu. I hope the new album does really well, and we look forward to having you back on the show when the new album comes out.
Awesome, dude. Thank you so much.
All right, Weapons of Anu. Reno, thank you so much.
Later.
All right, see ya.
You are like a gun, so no mercy for me. so confused that I can't tell you anymore. When love and hate collide, your love kills me, execution style. There's no mercy for me now, as the kill shot comes. You